Hey, this is Sam Spade from the Midnight Devils, and you're listening to the Power Rock Podcast with your host, Jim Madonna. It's time to get weird. Crank it up, baby.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, metal, heavy metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock. Friends, we got it all. And today is no different, because I have on the line vocalist and bassist, Mr. Sam Spade of the Midnight Devils. Sam, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Sam, I want to tell you what an honor and a privilege it is for me to have this opportunity to speak with you. You know, Facebook has really done some amazing things. And one thing they certainly have done is brought a lot of people together in music to listen to your band, the Midnight Devils, and to be able, again, to do this interview because, you know, it's nice to have a new flavor placed in your mouth. So thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure to be that flavor in your mouth.
All right. That's cool, man. Anyway, Sam, what I'd like to do is go ahead and give a little bit of history about yourself, about how the Midnight Devils came about. You know, of course, let the listeners know where they can get your music.
Yeah, absolutely. The Midnight Devils are a based out of Nebraska, based out of Omaha, Nebraska, and Chicago, Illinois. Consist of myself on lead vocals and bass, and Chris Sniper Heinlein on guitar and vocals, and then our drummer is Jimmy Mess, and he's based out of Chicago. So we kind of split the time between both. But we started probably, I want to say once everything got finalized, roughly 3 years ago, so we're a relatively new band. Working on our sophomore release. Our debut album came out in 2018, and we made like a conscious decision to kind of get out and break the mold and see how far we could take this thing. And in 2018, 2019, we did our own kind of punk rock tours from coast to coast, basically. Played at the Viper Room in LA, played at the Dive Bar in Vegas, and then took it all the way over to New York. New York State, and did the M3 Festival in Baltimore, like the pre-party up there, and you know, we really just kind of pushed it, pushed the limits of what we thought was possible, and it ended up working, where it kind of gained us momentum, and we were doing stuff that other bands didn't really have the balls to do, and get out and play our own style of glam rock and roll. And we grew up listening to bands like Kiss and the Ramones and the New York Dolls and Van Halen, all these great rock and roll bands, and we kind of noticed that nobody's doing glam rock anymore. Nobody's getting up there and slapping that lipstick on and just going for it. And the reaction that the people were giving us was just over the top. And we really kind of felt that there was a need and a void that we could fill up.
Right. You know, it's ironic you said that people don't see that very often. When I had seen one of the Midnight Devils videos, when I was getting introduced to the band, actually, which is just recently, the very first band that came to my mind, or actually person, a very specific individual, was CC DeVille from Poison.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to one of their shows and I watched that man. His hair was way up here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him, you know, he was just wailing on the guitar on his back and running around backstage and coming around just acting like a complete lunatic.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of entertainment, you know. You put the lipstick, the makeup on, that kind of stuff, and just be who you are and just go out there and have a fucking good time. That's what it's all about. It really is.
Yeah. And I know that the guys in the Midnight Devils would agree that, you know, that first Poison record was by and far one of the most groundbreaking glam rock records ever. The cover alone, you're like, are these boys, are these girls? I don't know what it is. And then the amount of hits that they had on it. And well, I'll tell you this, we played a festival in Oklahoma. It's the Rocklahoma Music Festival. And It was like Def Leppard and Poison were playing. And we're like, okay, we'll see how this stacks up. And while I love Def Leppard and I think the songs are great, when Poison got out there, you know, it was 50,000 people, 50,000 screaming chicks losing their mind to Poison still to this day. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather be in Poison than in Def Leppard, because that's, they've always brought this party atmosphere, and it's, you know, undeniable that that kind of rock and roll still has a place in people's hearts and still gets people fired up and ready to party. That's what it's about.
Exactly, man. Sam, let me ask you, what was that defining moment in your life that made you want to become a musician?
It's very easy. I've told the story a ton of times. I was sitting, so I grew up in a smaller town in Nebraska, went to private school, and they showed us this video that it was like a propaganda video on the evils of rock and roll music and how rock and roll would turn you to into a devil worshiper. And I watched it, and I was like, something struck me. I'm like, this is really cool and intriguing, and I'm really into this. I don't worship the devil, and I know that this type of music isn't what that is. And so I kind of started digging deeper, and one of my buddies brought in a Kiss CD, and we listened to Detroit Rock City. And once I heard Detroit Rock City, I was hooked immediately, and I was like, this is it. This is my calling. I feel like I'm home in the eighth grade. And it took a little while to kind of progress into it, get my first guitar and start my first band. But that was the moment that I knew I wasn't like the weirdo anymore. Like I felt like I had a purpose. And then you kind of come to realize that there's people all over the world that felt exactly the same way and found this style of music, found rock and roll music, and they found a home.
Right. Sam, the first song I'd like to talk about is called Pink Halo. Can you give the listeners some history about that?
Yeah, Pink Halo is the second single we released on our debut record. So we put out Generation Dirt was the first one. We released a lyric video with that. Pink Halo was the second one. And the song is a straight, simple boogie-woogie song. And that's kind of exactly what we're going for. The mix, that faster Pussycat style, a real gritty boogie-woogie rock and roll. And the lyrics aren't based on anybody in particular. It was just about a bunch of girls that I had dated over the years that kind of left an impact on my life. And I kind of pulled those lyrics together about the highs and the lows. And I brought it to Sniper. Chris and I, the guitar player, and I do a lot of the writing together. And we kind of bounce ideas off each other. And he's like, I got this boogie-woogie riff. Perfect. Cool. It all kind of worked out to where we had this big sing-along chorus. And that's, I think, being like a Kiss fan or an AC/DC fan, you kind of look for those. You always look for the hook. What's the hook going to be in the song? What are the fans going to be singing in the crowd? What's going to get them excited? Say we go to a different city, nobody knows who we are. What's going to suck them in from that very first song? And I think Pink Halo did a really good job of that. We did the video. The video was shot at a strip club, like in the back lounge of a strip club. We wrote the video. And I thought it turned out really cool, and we wanted to kind of focus on not taking ourselves too seriously, not taking any of this too seriously. Like, it's still, at the end of the day, this is rock and roll, and it's meant to be fun. And so I think the video really captures that, where, you know, there's, like, fake drug deals going down with, like, kilos of glitter and smoking glitter joints, and it's really cool. I'm very proud of the way that the video turned out.
It's a unique video, and it's a great song. And here it is. Pink Halo with the Midnight Devils. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
It's a story about a girl I know. No! Or maybe a few girls I know. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. We are with Sam Spade. Sam, I tell you, this may sound, I don't know, kind of repetitious, but when I talk about your songs, I'm going to tell you, great song every time, because they really, they truly are. They bring a different flavor to the table, and I think there's people out there that are hungry, because, you know, I think this music industry is just at a very stagnant point. I really do. This is just my opinion. And when I heard the Midnight Devils, you know what it did? It took me back to my 80s partying days. It took me back to when, you know what? Life was fun. Not this bad now, but it sure as hell wasn't as bad back. That's kind of where the Midnight Devils take me. It's great stuff, man. And thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Those are great compliments, and that's exactly what we're going for. Is it's not a throwback to the 80s, but it's very reminiscent. You know, it's familiar. We're a new band, but it's music that's familiar, and people that are fans of 80s music will get exactly where we're coming from and what we grew up with.
Right. Sam, in your opinion, what defines a successful record?
A successful record, that's a great question. It's got to be a total package, and I think that's really a learning experience, especially for us, because we put out our own record, we funded it, we basically built it up from scratch. And if you don't think putting out a record is an investment, you know, it's like a $10,000 investment right off the bat. So we had to kind of fund that and learn along the way. So you're talking like, okay, we got to write 12 songs, we got to get into a studio. And they got to be good songs. We got to be prepared, lay all these songs down, get them mixed and mastered, and then find artwork that matches the record, and find somebody that's going to print all these CDs, these vinyl, whatever. At the end of the day, it still comes down to the songs and writing anthems and memorable songs that people can sing along to. I grew up listening to Kiss. Kiss is my band, and I every day kind of learn on what made them successful, what made these giant bands, Van Halen, the Ramones. It was the total package. You got to have it all together and then present it in a way that people, it's easily accessible, and then put it on the road. It's really like the blueprint is there, and that's what a lot of bands don't get. The blueprint's been written so many times, and that's exactly what we're following. We're following what the bands did before us.
Sam, the next track I'd like to talk about is called By My Side. Can you give the listeners some history on that one?
Yeah, By My Side is a song that I did not write that song. It was written by our guitar player, Sniper. So he wrote that song. And we kind of, along with that line, like, you get the guitar player-singer combination, like Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey and Joe Perry and Steven Tyler, all these great guys. And I think we really kind of follow that formula. And I've learned that throughout the years. The songs that I write are good. The songs that he writes are good. But the best songs that we have are the songs that we collaborate. So By My Side was a song that he kind of brought in, and he let me sing it. And so it was very, very cool that I was able to sing a song that I didn't write. I've never done that before. So it was a very cool experience for me.
It's a great song. And here it is, By My Side with the Midnight Devils. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
I want you by my side.
Okay, again, we are back with Sam Spade. And Sam, you know, the entire album, you know, I had to choose these songs for this and for this interview. You know, I listened to the entire album. The entire album, it's great. It really is. These songs that I have chosen to play on this for this interview, again, are songs that really spoke to me, that I felt more of a personal connection with the songs than the other ones, but not that there was anything wrong with them. Again, I do want to reiterate that. You know, again, you know, well done.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, man. Sam, has there ever been a moment in your life where you had lost the interest or the desire to playing? And if so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
That's a great question also. And I was just thinking about this the other day. There's never been a moment where I didn't want to play. There's been a million moments where I've been discouraged and thought that, you know, I don't know how we're going to keep going. How are we going to pull through this? That's the thing is, I am trying to stay positive throughout all of this, the virus stuff and how much hard work we have to put into this. And I think it just comes down to, like, this is what I love. This is exactly what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. And you only get one shot at this. If I don't keep pushing it, then nobody else is going to. And as bad as the guys want to be out back on the road, we can't right now. But I know that it's around the corner. So I just keep thinking, like, there's better times ahead. We can do this. We did this tour with the choir boys. We were on their U.S. tour in March. We landed this massive tour, and we had like a week to prepare. We got out there, and we were hanging out with like our heroes on the road, and it was really, really cool. And then the virus hit, and we got sent home from New Orleans. It was just brutal, devastating, and it's still been devastating. But I'm like, okay, I've seen the other side. I've seen how far we can take this thing. If we just stay the course, we keep pushing and doing something that nobody else is doing, it'll come around and it'll all be worth it. I think at the end of the day, kind of getting your creative outlet and just keep pushing it. I've just been reading and listening to music and trying to stay inspired throughout all everything that's kind of happened over the last year.
Yeah, I want to ask you, since this virus has really came out, have you seen an increase, perhaps, in growth as far as your fan base? I find that, you know, we all lead such, or for the most part, we all lead such very busy lives. And most of us spend a lot of time on social media. Before this virus hit, none of that, of course, had changed. However, I think more people are spending more time on social media now more than ever. Has there been more people, perhaps, that maybe has learned about the Midnight Devils since this pandemic has presented itself?
Yes, you're absolutely right. 100% right. Where I was disillusioned and I was like losing interest in posting on social media because there wasn't anything going on with the band. And I would say probably about a month and a half ago, we hooked up with our now manager, who is a guy named Aaron from Samurai Artist Management. He's out of Illinois, and he's like, look, you guys are on the same level as Kiss now. Everybody's on the same level because nobody's touring. So what are they doing, and what can you do during this time? He's like, you got to start posting every day, engaging your fans, and really reaching out during this quarantine time. And it worked. I can't tell you how much it worked, where we've been selling merch every day. I've been shipping out merch. And people, we have this captive audience that's just sitting at home waiting for content, waiting for stuff to happen. So I've been busy as hell, just like reaching out to people, finding people that would be interested in the band, new fans all over the place. And they're there and they're hungry. It's actually really cool if you think about it. We probably wouldn't have talked if it hadn't been for this quarantine thing, you know?
Right. So it's kind of a blessing and a curse kind of thing. Same thing, you know?
Absolutely.
Right on.
It's like a setup. I'm thinking it's going to be a setup for when everything opens back up and then the renaissance and the party begins.
Right. I think, you know, we can really, if we dig down deep, man, I really think that we can find good in just about any bad situation. Mm-hmm. It's how much you want to sit in your own shit and stink. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right, Sam, next track I'd like to talk about is called Absence of Light. How about some history?
Absence of Light is another one of those collaboration songs. You're picking all the good guitar songs. So Chris is he's a huge Eddie Van Halen fan. So he's our musical director. He's the guy that kind of makes sure that all the wheels roll. And while we're on the road, everything is chaos around, he's the guy that's rock solid. So he came to me with this riff, and I'm like, this is the most difficult riff I've ever heard to write a song to. Like, I can't find the hook to it. I can't find this. And eventually I decided on Absence of Light, which is like, so I was going through like, the thought was shadows. Okay, shadows. What is a shadow? Well, it's the absence of light. That's basically where the title came from. I think I just kind of came up with that hook, Absence of Light, and based the song around pulling yourself up and walking through those shadows.
So I'm going to tell you what. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Absence of Light with the Midnight Devils. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
Driving down the same old road, I'll wait for the last 500 miles.
Okay, again, and we are back with Sam Spade. And Sam, what can I say, man? Another great, great tune, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Hey, let me ask you. I know we just talked about the virus and things are slow and so on and so forth, but how do you balance your life, we'll say, around your job, perhaps a child, a girlfriend, a wife? You know, how do you keep an equal balance in your life?
At this moment, and I'm actually really happy at this moment, there is no balance. It's really cool on the side where I'm blessed to work at a record shop in Lincoln, Nebraska. My buddy owns it, but I've been working here for about a year. But it's a rock and roll record shop with, like, you know, there's Kiss posters on the wall, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue. So I get to go into that every day and just kind of nerd out about the rock music that I like and talk to customers about AC/DC shows and stuff that they went through. It's really cool. My other job is that I get a DJ. I DJ at night at strip clubs, which you wouldn't think is, like, the coolest thing ever, but being a music nerd, you get to sit there for 6 hours a day and play music and put on a show for whether it's these girls or the guys or whatever. You're putting on a show. There's lights and smoke. And so I'm still kind of doing it without doing it, I guess you could say. So it really is like my whole life is kind of centered around this rock and roll thing. And it's slowly coming back around to where we're talking to booking agents and stuff now that are hinting at shows and tours possibly happening. So I've been blessed so far to have music just in my life constantly.
When you said strippers and stuff like that, it brought me back to where, you know, we're very similar people. You know, I'm an 80s
yeah.
guy. I'm an 80s guy. You know, I went through the drug scene. I've been mm-hmm. in, you know, I was not only a bouncer, but I was an escort. I used to escort strippers to bachelor parties.
Okay, cool.
You know, so, and then I used to take them back and listen to great music. So, you know, it kind of, honestly, I'm glad that part of my life is closed, but I ain't gonna lie. you know, I can totally relate to what you're talking about, you know, because I'm going to go back to say back then life was so much different. It was so much laid back.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of it for me was a blur, but hey, you know, what can I say? you get my drift, you know, so
yep.
Anyway, that's pretty cool. All right. Let's see here. The next track I'd like to talk about called No More. Can you give us some history on that?
No More was actually a song written by, it was the one song, two songs. He got two songs on the record. Chris Sniper, he wrote that song. That is 100% him. He did the whole thing, the musical composition, the lyrics and everything, and was very hands-on in the studio just putting that together. So, like, our whole goal was to kind of emulate how the Beatles did it, how Kiss did it, where they have different guys. You know, each guy, if a guy's sick, he can sing. So if I'm sick, Sniper could sing or anything like that, to where they have an equal share or a share in writing the songs. That was all him. And I think I'm not even really 100% sure what his inspiration was behind that. I do know the song is probably the longest song on the record, and it's very guitar heavy. It's a guitar player's song.
Yeah,
that's probably the best description.
Yeah, it's a very guitar-driven song. I mean, it really is.
Yes.
It's got it opens up hard. It's just a great tune all the way around.
Sitting in the studio, and he's like, okay, there's going to be two solos in this song. I'm like, two solos? We're writing a rock and roll record. You got two guitar solos in the song. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. This is perfect. Let's go. And people love it.
Awesome. And here it is. No More with the Midnight Devils. Crank it up. We'll be right back.
In fact, we had a great thing going. We were moving to the motion, having some fun. And then I turn around, I look back, you're nowhere to be found. Things had changed, things were different. Now I'm not gonna be putting up with your lies. I'm not gonna be putting up with you putting me down. I'm going to the top. You know what? I'm going straight to the top, with or without you.
You wanted to know how it's gonna be. Well, I'm letting you know, girl, I'm setting you free.
Are back with Sam Spade. And Sam, I gotta tell you, another kick-ass song. What we're gonna do is I want to ask you a couple more questions and we're gonna go ahead and close the show out, man. What type of legacy, or how do you want to be remembered by your friends, family, or fans when you pass on?
I just want to be remembered as the guy that did it, that stopped at nothing to do it, who everything came from the heart. And that's really what it all boils down to, especially in this business, in this day and age. Any guy can go out there with a wig on and play Def Leppard songs. That's not what I'm about. I'm about living this every day. You know, people know the Midnight Devils when we walk into a bar. They say, that's the band right there. They got long hair. They're wearing makeup. The show hasn't even started yet. It's all about being real, coming straight from the heart, and just bringing that kind of creative energy to life.
That's a great answer, man. Well, Sam, we're going to go ahead and close it out. And, brother, I just want to say to you, man, that, first of all, you know, it was an honor and a privilege, again, to have had this opportunity to talk to you. I just want to sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, wish you guys the utmost success. And if I may, I'd like to use the word pray. I pray that God just continues to bless you guys, to keep looking out for your families, and all your dreams, all your desires are met. And that I expect to see big things from the Midnight Devils, because the Midnight Devils has got what it takes, man. And that's what makes the music industry great. Just take over. And this is what I love. So again, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate those words, and it means a lot coming from you and being able to talk to you. You know, even though we're halfway across the country, we kind of connect on this cool level that is music and rock and roll. And it's almost like we're brothers now because of it.
Absolutely. So there you have it, my friends. An interview with Sam Spade of the Midnight Devils. I am Jim Madonna, your host. This is Power Rock Podcast. And we are going to play one more song off the album, Something Bigger. This one here is called Something Bigger. Peace.